Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
There is no shortage of action going on with our partners at BetOnline.ag. The NBA is right around the corner, and right now, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer have all resumed play. And BetOnline has the best odds and lines for their upcoming games and matches. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening live every day. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online wagering experts. You are listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. For more on your Pelicans, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today. Episode of the Bird Calls podcast. I'm your host and contributor to thebirdrights.com and Bleacher Report, Preston Ellis. Today we are shaking things up. We do have the Prince of the Protocol, Mr. Kevin Bieferbounce on Twitter, as you might know him. Kevin is selling paintings. Do you want to tell our listeners a bit about those in case they're interested?
Sure. They're actually colored pencil drawings. But they, like right now, I have a series of birds that are completed already. That are matted and framed. So if you're interested in those, you can get in touch with me. I sold two last night. I sold a pelican and a blue heron, but I have already drawn. I have a southern cassowary, a hornbill, and a king vulture. And then I'm going to start working on some more this week. I just got a commission to draw another blue heron, but I'll do commissions or I'll just be posting stuff from here and there. So if you're interested in anything, please hit me up on Twitter because, I haven't been able to go back to work in 5 months and I need money.
I'm just saying, y'all, desperate times. We also have, first time or second time guest on the podcast, Mr. Elliot Clough, host of Believe in the New Orleans Pelicans and also contributor to thebirdrights.com. Elliot, have you been on the pod before? I can't remember. I'm sorry. I'm old.
You're fine. This is my first time, Preston. I'm excited to be here.
Sweet, because I know we had that sign up a few months ago, and I can't remember. I remember I had Travis on, I had Charlie on. Anyway, I'm monologuing. Let's talk about the most important game of the 2019-2020 season, since Elliot is our first-time guest. We'll start with him. The Pelicans are now a perfect 7-0 in exhibition games, although these don't technically classify as those. They're scrimmages, but still, in our practice games, they're now 7-0 and could potentially become the first team, I'm guessing, ever to go 8-0 in games that don't matter. So, Elliot, it was a bit unusual. A lot of bigs in the lineup. Guys held out like Jamal Murray, Will Barton, Gary Harris, Michael Porter Jr. Tell us what you have to take away from it.
Right. I mean, the Pels are getting in the groove of the way they play and the way they can be successful in Orlando. It's getting up and down the floor and making three-point shots. Now, they didn't make a ton. They were 41% in this last game against the Nuggets. But the main thing is that they were running up and down the floor. And big takeaway is Na played pretty well last night comparatively. You know, 31 minutes, or close to 32 minutes, 8 of 19 from the field, 21 points. So shot selection was a little bit better. So I think that's a big takeaway. Maybe he takes over for Frank Jackson's minutes, or at least a little bit more of them here in Orlando. I think the biggest takeaway, though, is that they're pretty good shape. We'll see how Zion's fitness is coming off this little bit of hiatus. But I liked what I saw last night in terms of running the floor big time.
Yeah, definitely appreciate. I think it was the tale of two halves with Nikhil Alexander-Walker. He was very confident in the first half. And I thought he kind of, he turned the ball over a lot in the second half. But I think
And we'll, everybody wants to hear about Frank Jackson, so I'm going to talk about Frank Jackson for a moment. I think their skill sets are so different that even though Nikhail might be the more valuable player just due to his skill set, in terms of what the Pelicans need, they have so many creators in Zion, Brandon Ingram, Drew Holiday, Lonzo Ball. They don't really need that skill set from Nikhail Alexander-Walker. Frank Jackson, I think they just trust a bit more on the defensive side of the floor, so I feel like they feel more comfortable throwing him in there, but that's neither here nor there. Probably both these guys aren't going to be playing in the games that mattered. Kevin, I'll just throw the ball to you and let you take the floor. What takeaways did you have? And then we'll get a bit more specific.
Yeah, I mean, first off, it's fun to watch basketball again. That's the biggest takeaway. It's kind of a shame the first two opponents we had, because there's not a lot that you can take away from these games due to the teams we were playing and the situation those teams are in. First game against the Nets, we're basically playing the backups to the backups to the backups of the Nets. So you can't really put much stock in that game. And then this game, you know, like you said, all those guys are missing and they're starting crazy lineup of giant bigs that you're not going to face at any point in the 8-game stretch to run into the playoffs. And, you know, playing against a zone defense, which you don't see a whole lot in the NBA. So it's hard to take away a lot of things from this. I will say, defensively, it was nice to see us hold our own against that size, you know, because that's where we really struggle, is defending, protecting the rim and defending against bigs, especially when Derek Favors isn't available. So it was good to see us hold our own against such a big lineup. Offensively, I don't really worry about this team offensively. We know they can generate points, so you want to see defense, you want to see rebounding, and I think we saw a better effort on that end in this Denver game, so that was good. Like you guys already said, I thought Nah had a pretty good game. If you throw away the third quarter, which is kind of like something you could say for the entirety of the Pelican season, if you throw away the third quarter, then it was a great game. So that was refreshing. And to, on your point about Nah and Frank, the reality is, why play either of them when you can just give Etuan those minutes? Because Etuan is, you know, he looked really good. And both games so far, I thought he did a great job defending bigs in this Denver game. And I think that's going to really allow him to get a lot more minutes in these 8 games and into the playoffs if we get there. So, yeah, I mean, the player I've been most excited about has been Etuan so far in these first two scrimmages. But I'm hoping that we get a little bit more semblance of a realistic opponent in the next game coming up.
Yeah, we definitely will get that with the Milwaukee Bucks. Mike Budenholzer has been playing all of his players with the exception of Eric Bledsoe, who's still being quarantined, albeit none of them are playing into the second half. So we'll really only get a realistic viewing in the first half. But Kevin mentioned defense. I wanted to circle back to that, Elliot, because we got a good glimpse of what we all knew, but what the, I guess, national NBA fans can tend to forget. And that's what a versatile defender Drew Holiday is. He's not just exclusively a backcourt stopper. He can range from 1 to 5. You know, probably most people know by now he matches up with Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, LeBron James. And last night we got to see him pretty much school Nikola Jokic on the defensive end. I hope I can say that. Do you think even though these games don't matter, what will this do for his all-defensive team campaign?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I mean, as far as his all-defensive campaign, yeah, I mean, like you said, these games don't tend to matter, but I mean, I knew Drew was a good defender, but I wasn't expecting him to absolutely basically shut down Nikola Jokic last night. I mean, 25 minutes, Nikola played a lot last night and only scored 11 points. Granted, he got 10 boards, but I mean, when you got that big of a lineup, you know, it's kind of easier to get boards against that smaller lineup that the Pelicans fielded. But I mean, it's just a testament to how versatile Drew is. You said 1 to 5. And there are very few players in the NBA who can guard all 5 positions. And Drew being the 6'3 guard that he is, that's really, really impressive. And it's easy to just say, this part doesn't count for the all-defensive team. But, I mean, if he shows out like that for these 8 games and then continues that trend in the playoffs, should the Pelicans make it, it's just going to be really difficult to say that he was not worthy of an all-defensive team position. I mean, just to reiterate again, shut down Nikola Jokic, who is so much taller than him, such a versatile player. Sure, we're only in scrimmages, but that's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, totally. No, we all know what fans we are of Jrue Holiday and that aspect of his game on this podcast. Before, you know what, I'll just go ahead and move on, Kevin. I know that these guys probably aren't going to log a lot of real-time minutes, but still, the eighth overall pick in the 2019 draft, Jaxson Hayes, of course, he's always good for a highlight. He did put up 6 rebounds, albeit in 23 minutes, 13 points, typical effective from the field, 50% shooting. He did have that nice mid-range shot, although he had an air ball to go along with it as well. Just talk about his to me, Kevin, it feels like we're still experiencing the exact same player that we did in summer league. I'm not seeing development since that point. Do you feel any differently?
Yeah, I feel the same as you. I think there's a little bit of a maturity issue with him and a bit of like, he feels himself too much. You know, he thinks he's better than he is. And I think he can be a very good player if he can just change his mindset and his attitude a little bit, because you see him just get totally lost on defense, and he works really hard. Like he's very active. He's very energetic. He's constantly moving, but he's just not doing the smart thing. And he's losing focus, letting guys cut behind him for open, easy layups, stuff like this. And it also gets him into foul trouble because he has to react and, you know, leads to hacks and bumps and not having his feet set and things like that. So it is a little bit frustrating that he hasn't seemed to progress on the defensive end. And even on the rebounding end, he's still not really putting a body on people, not boxing off very well, just relying on that size and his leaping ability. So he's a guy that definitely needs to have a little bit of a reality check in terms of where he is mentally in the game, because I think he's too satisfied with where he is. And that can be a problem, because he can either be a great player or he could be like a you know, Grubb uses this a lot in comparison to him, is JaVale McGee, a guy who has all the physical tools and he makes these highlight plays, but he also makes these super bonehead plays. And he's not really a guy that you can count on to anchor your defense, which you really need from the center position, especially if it's not a guy that's stretching the floor for you. So yeah, I think that is a little bit troubling.
Now, Elliot, I'm trying not to get too negative on this podcast, because we did secure a 15-point victory, so plenty to be positive about. But just in terms of these young guys, I think their stock couldn't have been higher than it was last summer, coming off summer league exhibition. Jaxson Hayes showed out, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, even though he only played 3 quarters, Frank Jackson scored 30 points in that lone appearance. I think it was against the New York Knicks. Kenrich Williams was managing the offense in summer league. Of course, we know what he can do as a rebounder and a defender, but his shooting fell off a cliff, and now it looks as if he's even afraid to take those shots. In terms of the progression or development of those 4 guys that we're hoping can emerge into rotation players, have you seen any like tangible improvement this season?
I mean, I would like to think that Jaxson Hayes has improved on the offensive end, just in terms of confidence, if anything, just because he seemed a little bit tentative early on in the season. Like he was afraid to make a mistake. And like you both have said, there's been little to any growth on the defensive end. And Kevin kind of hit it, is that he's really feeling himself too much. I mean, you watch one of these media availabilities where he's talking to the press, and I'd like to think that this 19-year-old, he's 19, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. 19-year-old would say, look, I've got Derek Favors on my team. I think I've got a lot to learn, and I can sit down with him for a session and just, I mean, not just one session, but every day in practice, just be watching Derek Favors like a hawk on the defensive end of the floor. So I'd like to see that more from Jaxson Hayes. Kenrich Williams, you know, I wrote that piece about his need to show his value in this 8-game stretch that we're about to see. And I mean, I'd be shocked if he sees more than 5 minutes of game time in the entire 8 games. He's done. I think we saw his capabilities early on in the season. Like, there's the reason his nickname was Kenny Hustle. And he's showing that in these 8 or these scrimmage games too, taking charges, diving after loose balls. He's just not fast enough to keep up with 3s, not big enough to keep up with 4s. I think with Na, we saw a better shot selection in that first half, like we've said last night. And there is clear potential for Na to continue to develop and be a backup point guard to Lonzo and be a piece that's constantly in the rotation. I tweeted jokingly last night, Kevin, just so you know. I know you and David responded to it and said that I should just go ahead and die, since I want to die on the hill of signing Frank Jackson. But yeah, I'm kind of over Frank too. I there are pieces to all of their games. I think Frank, I mean, they all have high ceilings except for Kenrich Williams. He would be a role player, but I think obviously Jackson Hayes and Nah, we've got plenty of time for those two, but I think it's definitely time to move on from Kenny Hustle and from Frank Jackson.
I'll get in here just because they're such they're young guys. By the way, Jackson Hayes is 20. He just celebrated his birthday about 2 months ago, May 23rd. I will still say these guys are super young, and we know that everybody in the NBA doesn't develop the same way that Luka Doncic did. It can take these guys a bit more time. Frank Jackson's still just 22. And I think right now his role has shifted. We viewed him as this up and down the floor gunner who could score potentially like 20 points a game, just based on what we've seen in summer league, an athletic guy, a fast guy coming out of Duke. But now I think his role really needs to emerge as a defender, a backcourt stopper. And that's what we've seen Alvin Gentry really utilize him as. So if he can improve himself on that end of the floor, we can be a bit more patient with him on the offensive side of the floor. But yeah, none of these four guys really look like they're ready to contribute right now, which is super disappointing. But again, they're going to have another offseason and probably about a month or two from now. So they'll have more time to get their heads back in the book and learn a bit more. Before we get on to the Bucks, I'll go over to Kevin, a guy I wrote about. I interviewed his assistant coach, Devin Blair, from the Rio Grande Valley Vipers. He played with the Los Angeles Clippers for 2 years, was really impressive his first year. And what everybody knows him as is he's really long. He's really strong. He's a great and versatile defender. I'm talking about Sindarius Thornwell. His main problem, according to Devin Blair, was, of course, his shooting. He's been an abysmal shooter. However, through two games, he's shot the ball pretty well. I'm pulling it up right now. He scored 12 points on just four shots. He was 3 of 4 from three-point range, and he got to the line four times. He had seven assists, an underrated playmaker who's played some point guard with the Rio Grande Valley Vipers. Kevin, I know these games don't matter, but I'm reaching. Were you impressed with Sindarius Thornwell?
Yeah, I liked what I saw from him last night. But, you know, like I joked about on Twitter last night, he had his Solomon Hill playoff series, yeah. You know, last night. I've seen Sindarius play, and, you know, back when the Clippers had him and Tyrone Wallace, and I'm trying to remember the other, they had another young point guard who was a big guard as well. I can't remember his name now. But they were like these three guards at the end of the roster. Now, I had my eye on them because whatever one they cut, I wanted us to take. They had to cut one of them. We actually did take Tyrone Wallace, but we kept Kenrich Williams over him. But yeah, like, so I always had like interest in Sindarius, and I think that defense was something that we definitely needed back then. Now we have a little bit better perimeter defenders. I mean, we always have Drew Holiday, but now we have Lonzo Ball, we have Josh Hart can defend on the perimeter. But having another guy that you can throw in there to cool somebody off and lighten the load of another guy that's one of your premier stoppers that needs to put more energy into being an offensive player is good. And if he can, you know, make that shot more consistently, it doesn't have to be 3 for 4. But, you know, if he's hitting three out of eight or whatever, three out of nine, that's something that's useful and can get him some minutes. But I was really impressed with his passing last night. He did some really he had some really nice passes to create shots for people. So it was good to see him like have an offensive side to go with his, you know, solid defensive play that he's known for.
Yeah,
I was going to say, do you mind if I ask you a question quick, or do you want to respond to Kevin?
Let me just respond. The only two names I could find were C.J. Williams and Mios Teodosic. I'm not sure if those are the two guys you were referring to. But go ahead, Elliot.
I was just going to ask you, I've heard from a lot of people from the Bird Rights, people we've had on my podcast since the hiatus started, what they think of Kenrich Williams. What do you think? Do you think they should bring him back after this year? Do you think he has an opportunity to earn that spot?
I do. I really like what he provides. I like the energy that he brings to the floor. I like his versatility on the defensive end. He can play one through four. We talk a lot about what he can't do, and that's shoot, and he won't shoot. And that's a major problem. But in terms of what he can do, he knows where he fits in the offense. He always moves the ball to the right place. He's got a great head on his shoulders in that regard. He moves off the ball very well. And on the defensive end, I think he's a really terrific player. I think he's extremely versatile. He's an elite level rebounder. He's got great length. It's just his shooting. He's a zero on the offensive end of the floor in that regard, in that guys can lag off of him. They can help defend, but he is going to keep moving. He is going to move the ball the right way. The coaches do trust him. He knows how to play. He's just got to start taking shots. He's got to start taking them. He's going to miss them, but he's just got to keep taking them, because right now he's playing as if he's scared. And if that's the case, he's going to turn into another Darius Miller, and it's not going to last very long. But he's still, I think he's 22. I'll look it up right now, but he's not going to cost you much. You're going to be able to pull him back on a veteran minimum contract. The Pelicans really don't have a lot of money to go out and get anybody. They'll have the mid-level exception available to them, perhaps the biannual exception if they want to use that. I know what Grubb would say if he was here. They've got 3 second-round picks. They've got a first-round pick. They've got Zion Cheatham, who he's pretty high on, although I don't think he's impressed lately, but he's got a strong body, and he can give you a bit more minutes at the four and the five, which is kind of a bit more of what the Pelicans need right now, perhaps. But I just think it's so hard to find a quality wing, and especially a young one, that why not just take a little bit more time, see if he can develop his shot. But right now, he's just not taking shots, and that's a major problem. If he's going to be too gun-shy, then he's just not going to develop into a consistent NBA player.
He needs to get some work in with Fred Vincent.
Yeah, I mean, that's who he's working with, so it's just difficult to assess why he won't take that shot. And Darius Miller had the same problem. Some of these guys are just, they're just shy, and they just got to start letting it fly. And, you know, if you miss him, you miss him, but you got to start getting those shots up, or he's not going to last very long in this league, I'm afraid. But he does so many other things very well that you'd like to pray that he can put that aspect of his game together. But like Joe said in our group, saying that he can, you know, develop into an above-average three-point shooter, that's essentially saying, like, oh, well, if only he was good, he'd be good, but he's not very good right now. Kevin, do you have any hope for bringing back Kenrich Williams?
I mean, I wouldn't hate it if they brought him back. I wouldn't say it was a bad move, because if they bring him back, it's going to be on like a minimal contract. He's going to be at the end of the bench. I just, when I look at him and if everybody's healthy, I'm like, why would you play him? Because you could play Josh Hart, who's better at everything that Kendrick does, except for maybe playmaking. You could play Etwan Moore, who's better, who's not going to have an extra defender playing center field out there clogging up your offense.
Kevin, let me interrupt you for a moment. Just because he is, in my opinion, such a good rebounder and versatile defender, what if the Pelicans tried Kenrich as a small ball five and tried experimenting with giving him some of Melly's minutes?
I just see him get worked by bigger guys a lot, you know, so I don't know if that's something that's really going to help him. I mean, getting him closer to the basket might help him be more confident offensively, and he can play make from there. Clearly he's a very good passer. He rebounds well, but he rebounds well as a wing. I don't know if he's going to be able to rebound well when he's the guy that's posting up underneath the basket with another bigger man on him. And I've just seen him get worked by bigger guys a lot. So I don't know if that will work for him. Like, you know, I think he's like the not as good version of Kyle Anderson. Like if I had Kyle Anderson and I could play him at the five or the four, I'd be a lot more satisfied than being able to play Kenrick Williams. Now I know Kyle Anderson has a much bigger contract right now. But just, I think they're a little bit of a similar player where they're kind of a tweener, but they're both really good playmakers. They struggle from shooting from the outside, but they have decent size, and they're not super athletic, but they can find ways to contribute to winning and to make impactful plays. But I just don't think that Kenrick is good enough. Whereas like if I had Kyle Anderson, I would trust it, where I don't trust Kenrick Williams to really provide me what I need.
Well, I was really off. Kenrich Williams is 25 years old. He'll be 26 on December 2nd. So that really alters the case for him.
And that's the thing. It's like I'm looking at him and Frank Jackson, and and you know, everybody talks about the guy young Frank Jackson has played a lot of games for the Pelicans, and he still hasn't really developed. Now, in fairness to him, when he first came to the team, they were trying to make him a point guard, which is clearly not a position that he can play. It's just that's what his size, his size is more point guard size. So they tried to do that, but he's not a great playmaker and he can't create for himself. He's a spot up shooter and a cutter. That's where he's effective offensively, because he can't use a dribble move to beat anybody to use his athleticism to get to the basket. He has to catch the ball while making a move to the basket to be effective. I mean, we saw him beat Plumlee off the perimeter yesterday, but that's beating Plumlee. How many times is he going to be guarded by a center out on the perimeter? So without him, he still hasn't developed a handle in all these years and all these games that he's played. So I just feel like those two guys are guys that I would let wash out. They may develop into decent contributors, but at best, I think they're 10th men, 11th men in a rotation on a team. And I think it's worth letting them go to bring in some new guys with some potential to see if you can develop them into something better. So I'm not really interested in hanging on to those guys. But like you said, if they come in at a small contract, I don't care if they're like, 12th, 13th man on the rotation, that's fine. They're not terrible players, but I just don't think they're impact players. So I wouldn't invest a whole lot into them.
Oh, God.
Those are the screams I used to make when I'd cut myself shaving, you know where. But that was before Manscaped. Thanks, Manscaped, for turning my loud shrieks into multiple peaks. Look, who here doesn't get nervous about grooming their man parts? And that's why Manscaped created the Lawnmower 3.0, beautifully designed to reduce those painful nicks and tugs. The Manscaped engineering team obsesses over technology developments to provide you with the best tools for your family jewels. So many people have written in stories about how the Lawnmower 3.0 has changed their lives. They even included pics so I could see the smoothness for myself. And they aren't kidding. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. There is no shortage of action going on with our partners at betonline.ag. The NBA is right around the corner, and right now, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer have all resumed play. And BetOnline has the best odds and lines for their upcoming games and matches. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening live every day. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. betonline.ag, your online wagering experts.
Well, after a 31-point victory over the Brooklyn Nets and a 15-point victory over the Denver Nuggets, I feel like we've spent most of this podcast just complaining. So let's be a bit more positive. We're taking the undefeated Milwaukee Bucks on Monday. I think it's around 8 p.m. Eastern time, Elliot. And this one's going to be fun because we know that their stars are going to be there with the exception of Eric Bledsoe, as I mentioned. But Chris Middleton has really emerged as like a top 15 player this year. I know people probably don't want to rank him that high, but go ahead, take a look at some of the numbers and you'll see for yourself. Giannis Antetokounmpo is probably going to win both MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know who the last player to do that was other than Michael Jordan, but I'm sure it hasn't been often. I'm sure like somebody like Hakeem Olajuwon or David Robinson may have done so as well. But Elliot, this one's going to be fun. It's going to be difficult for the Pelicans to score. The Bucks are one of the longest and scariest defensive teams. What are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to if anybody can step up and play some defense on Giannis and do anything to maybe irritate him a little bit. I mean, it was Drew last time, and we got to see in that last matchup with the Bucks, Zion got to rip the ball away from Giannis, which was super fun. But I think this is just another game. I'm not expecting, I mean, unless the Summer League Pelicans show up again in the second half of this scrimmage, tomorrow, I don't have really that high of expectations. I think it's just kind of the same thing as it was against Nuggets, where we see some flashes and be like, oh, that was good, and like I want to see the Pels run the floor again. I'm not necessarily I'd like to see Na make some better decisions, like we've talked about in the second half, like we talked about in the third quarter. I don't know that there's necessarily going to be any really big takeaways in this one, if I'm going to be honest.
How dare you? Kevin, this is a really important game. This is a pivotal game for the New Orleans Pelicans. They have the chance to go 8-0 in games that don't matter in 2019-2020. This game could not be more critical to their postseason aspirations. Tell us about why we should be excited.
Well, I'm interested to see if they put Derek Favors on Giannis. I think that's probably the best case scenario, and have Melly hide on Brooke Lopez. And see how that works out. And then I want to see Lonzo attack. I want to see him drive to the basket and create offense that way. I really love Lonzo, and the only weakness in his game, really, since he's like developed a great catch and shoot jumper, is that he doesn't always have an intact mentality. And I think mentality is probably the hardest thing to change, especially, you know, once you're an adult, because, you know, you've been living your whole life with this mindset of what it is. And it's hard to change who you are at your core at some point. And I think he's always been more of a facilitator, but I think we need him to be more of an attacker, even if it is just a pass out of the initial action of collapsing the defense down as he drives to the basket. So I want to see that more. I want to see that create more open opportunities, especially against a long team. If you can collapse that length, draw them out, then kick it out to the perimeter, I think that would be something that would be encouraging to see. And I definitely want to see Favors go against Giannis, see how he can hold his own. And I think that's the way they got to go, because, you know, Ingram can't defend him. Melly can't defend him. You can stick Drew on him for a while, but Drew's not as great as Drew is. I mean, that's a matchup he's not going to win most of the time. You know, he can surprise big guys a lot, but Giannis is just so athletic and so long that he's going to struggle with him. And I'd rather see Drew spend more time on guarding some of their perimeter players, maybe get on Middleton sometimes, try to slow him down too. But it should be a fun game. I mean, two good teams, a lot of ball movement, a lot of good offensive, fun offensive structures for those two teams. And both teams are, you know, we know the Bucks are great defensively. The Pelicans are slowly getting there, especially with Favors in the lineup. So it'd be nice to see how that defense holds up against the Bucks' shot creation.
I'd like to see Josh Hart on Giannis, see what he can do there, at least on the perimeter. Because I mean, Derek Favors guarding Giannis on the perimeter, he's going to get beat to the basket every time.
Yeah. But it's one of those things you got to kind of like sag off of him and try to give him the perimeter shot, I think. But, you know.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to some Marvin Williams, Ersan Ilyasova pick and rolls. Just some smart, heady, veteran, you know, role players just coming off the bench who just know how to play basketball, know how to be in the right spots, and know how to fill out their assignments. I just think it's something that we have so many like blue chip caliber youth on the Pelicans roster that we're so excited about, and we hope that they'll develop. But it's nice just to see those veterans just come in and know how to play basketball, essentially.
Yeah, Elliot, the Bucks have a lot of players that you know you should like. You know, like Marvin Williams is a guy I like a lot. I would really like for us to try to make a move to get him next season if possible, because he would solve that stretch four, tweener five player that we need. And then, you know, I've always loved Middleton. So, you know, and then George Hill's another solid veteran. They have, and Wes Matthews, they have so many nice veterans on that team. It's a fun team to watch.
I'm a huge Ersan Ilyasova guy. I love that dude. Like, he is just an excellent guy he's a good guy off the bench, a veteran presence, a guy who can shoot. Not great defensively, you know, but I love what he does off the bench.
Good stuff, you guys. We'll get you out on this, Elliot. Zion Williamson is back. He is on the NBA campus. He only needs to quarantine for 4 days. So I am not going to try to do math, but I think that puts us somewhere around Thursday. And I know their opener is July 30th, so that might be Friday. Anyway, he should be eligible to play. However, we don't know what kind of condition he's in. We don't know if he was practicing or you know, running wind sprints whenever he went home. And we don't know what he's going to be able to do in his hotel room. Are you nervous about the lack of conditioning that could have taken place over the course of 2 weeks?
I am a little bit, but at the same time, I trust the Pelicans staff to be cognizant of looking at a minutes restriction. Like, I mean, the Pelicans were really, really careful with him in those 19 games that, or at least the first few games where he came back in terms of getting him off the floor. I wouldn't be surprised if they stick him to 20 to 25 minutes in this one and not try to get his minutes too crazy. Obviously, it has to be a concern because, I mean, we know the injury history. We know he's that big body, so explosive. And he was in such good shape coming off the hiatus. I mean, we saw the videos. I haven't seen Zion move that smooth since he was at Duke or maybe even high school. So I am a little concerned just because if he was, sitting on the couch, wherever he was with his family and whatever was going on, just observing, being with his family, which we can't condemn that at all. That's great. His family comes first, especially right now. But I think it has to be a bit of a concern, especially with his injury history, like I said.
Kevin, so going to have a little bit of fun with this one. In terms of if you were Aaron Nelson and you knew that Zion couldn't leave his hotel room for 4 days, but you knew you had to keep him in shape, what sort of things would you stick in his hotel room?
I have no idea. You're at, like, the last time, all I do for exercise is ride a bike, so I don't even know what things would be. So you're asking definitely the wrong person.
I just picture like a hotel room filled to the brim with like TRX bands, battle ropes, maybe like some kind of treadmill. There's like those Bosu balls that you like balance on, you turn them upside down and all sorts of stuff. I just see him like walking into the room and just a room filled with exercise equipment. Elliot, do you want to dive in on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I would venture to guess it'd be something like that. I might not say a treadmill just to keep him off his feet. Probably do like an exercise bike, like Kevin said, calisthenics, push-ups, squats, all that stuff. Maybe a pull-up bar in there. I don't know if Zion can do pull-ups. That's a pretty big body. But yeah, I would probably say a lot of the same stuff you said, Preston. You know, they're doing anything they can to keep him at least in moderate shape.
I mean, I'm going to say I'm not really worried about his shape. I mean, look how incredible he looked before he left. And then look how sort of, I mean, he wasn't fat, but he was thick and kind of doughy when he played for us this season earlier, and he was so dominant. Like, so I'm not really worried. I feel like he's gonna be somewhere in between that Bane photo and his first game against San Antonio, and that's gonna be fine. I'm not too concerned about his fitness right now. I mean, unless he was like just eating donuts, but I don't think he was. I think he's dedicated to what he's doing, and I think he was definitely in contact with the team throughout his exit, so I wouldn't be too concerned about his fitness level.
And we know he was staying in shape partially thanks to his stepdad, and clearly his stepdad knows what he's doing. Zion's been in professional settings, knows how to stay fit. Obviously it was at Duke, all that stuff. So I think there has to be some level at least of minor concern, but at the same time, Zion's a smart kid, and he's very obviously competitive. He knows what to do. He knew what to do to stay in shape over that time that he was gone.
All right, you guys, I think we're right around the 40-minute mark, so I want to thank you for your time. Again, you guys can follow Elliot Clough at Elliot Clough. I hope I pronounced that right. Also host of Believe in the Pelicans podcast, contributor to thebirdrights.com. Elliot, is there anything else you want our listeners to know about? Anything you got coming up?
For sure. So Believe in the Pelicans, BLEAV, podcast networks, they're strange, just to make sure y'all know. We're working on trying to get a guest from probably somewhere in the Utah spectrum of media, whether Locked On Pelican or Locked On Jazz or someone from the Believe Network too. We're working on getting somebody for a preview for that game. Still working on AD. I know you've had him on this podcast a few times, Preston. And might see what you can do there, but I definitely want to try to get Antonio Daniels on here soon. And then, of course, we'll probably have somebody else from the Bird Rights coming back soon enough as well. So, that podcast is just a blast. I've been having so much fun over there, and we really appreciate all Pelicans fans that have been checking it out. So,
sweet. And Kevin B for Bounce is where you can find Kevin Berrios on the Twitters. Kevin, tell us a bit about what you've got coming up. I remember you were writing something with Chris. I'm not sure if it ever went live. And also the paintings, just circle back on that real quick.
Yeah, Chris and I are working on a long-term project. It's already changed like 5 times the way it's going to be. but that's kind of how he and I work. But we don't plan on putting it out till after the season's over anyway. So there'll be something very Chris and Kevin-like coming your way. At that point, we're both having a little trouble with motivation, but also we were just kind of like shaping it as we went along. But now I think we're locked into what we really want to do. So it should start flowing soon. And then again, you know, I do illustrations. I work for commissions or have stuff done already that you could buy. So if you go to my Twitter account, you can find some stuff there. Or if you don't see it, just hit me up and I'll show you some pics. And then if you're interested, it'd be great because I need to feed my dogs.
Yeah. A little bit of celebratory news. This podcast just passed 100,000 downloads since we started with partnered with the Armchair All-American Network. I want to say that was like August or September or something, but big thanks to everybody who just listens. Really appreciate it. If you want some personal news about me, I got tested about 2 weeks ago and I got my results after 3 days. After 11 days, my wife finally got her results back and she was also negative. Also, my union is continuing its lockout with Walt Disney World. They are now in the grievance phase. So thoughts and prayers are welcome. Hopefully I'll have a job to go back to in a few weeks. But other than that, I've got the game preview for the Milwaukee Bucks. That one's been submitted. Ollie's going to be working on that. So be sure to check that out. And yeah, just thank you guys for listening. If you have an extra second, make sure that you share and rate our podcast and do for Elliot as well. For now, let's dance and let's go Pels. Thank you for listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today. Black Lives Matter, and we're continuing to do our part here at The Bird Calls. That's why we've created the Armchair All-American Scholarship. Thanks to contributions from Armchair, myself, Music is My Refuge, R. Anders 36, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and many more, Armchair Media will be issuing 4 $500 scholarships per semester to aspiring Black creatives. The criteria is African-American, under 21, and in a creative field. To apply, send something you've created, whether photography, art, music, anything, to scholarship@armchairallamericans.com. We can't wait to see your application.